Hello and welcome to another episode of the Architects Are From Mars and Builders Are From Venus podcast, brought to you by Ruby Sketch. Let's get started. Okay, thanks for joining us for episode 6. My name is Drew Povey and I'm your host. Now, the reason we're doing these podcasts is because we are passionate about the design and construction industry. Many companies say they are, but we actually mean it. And we believe that if everyone in the industry better understands each other, we'll communicate better, leading to stronger relationships, more sustainable design and construction, and more profitable businesses. So in this series, we'll be talking to architects, designers, builders, estimators, and product manufacturers. We want to discuss the issues that are costing each profession time and money, as well as taking a look at what we could be doing to create more successful businesses. Before we start, we'd like to give special thanks to our platinum sponsor, Brickworks Building Products. Brickworks are one of Australia's largest building product companies with a product range that includes bricks, pavers, stone, masonry blocks, precast concrete panels, and the list goes on. They lead through style and innovation, creating beautiful products that last forever. In this episode, we're going to be speaking with Jackson Digney. Jackson is a licensed builder with over 15 years in the construction industry and is the owner of Enduro Builders. He is passionate about sustainable building and producing energy-efficient homes that not only exceed his customers' expectations, but also finish on time and on budget. And as a PlusSpec user, we're going to be seeing how he's using it to find success. Hey, Jackson. Thanks for joining me. How are you doing today?
Great. Yeah, thanks for having me.
No problem. I'm really excited about this episode, so let's just jump right in and start by telling our listeners just a little bit about you and your experience in the construction industry.
So I specialize in building energy-efficient architect-designed homes, and I started off as a carpenter when I came into the building industry, and I had a bit of experience outside of the industry prior to that, but pretty much always wanted to be a builder. And I focus a lot with my clients on making sure that they come away from building with me knowing a bit more about building than they did when they first met me, and also being raving fans of the industry. Because I think that a lot of things go on that don't do us many favors in terms of our reputation generally. So that's my big focus, and it's what gets me out of bed in the morning.
Yeah, it's very easy for customers to feel foolish when they sit down with an architect or a builder or contractor because they don't have our knowledge and they don't understand 2D drawings. So tell us what you're doing to communicate differently and how this is benefiting your business.
So I do a lot of things differently, and one of the biggest ones is we use an online project management system that the clients have access to, and we use that right from our preliminary services stage, which is, you know, when we're doing preliminary sketch designs and putting budget figures to it. And the online portal allows clients to log in and they can see the what's called the specs and selections page. It's kind of same idea as the scope of works and what's included and not included. And that's all available to them right from the get-go. So obviously, in the very early stages, the information that's in there is a bit generic to every single build. And then as we progress through design and redesign and costing and that whole process, we update that information, and the clients, all of the communication is done within that system so that you're able to have a really good log of every bit of communication and where they've asked for something or we've asked for something, and put timelines on getting responses to those questions. And it gives us a really good history too. You know, a lot of the time during the design process, something will get put in and then taken out and then put in again and then taken out. And you can often get to the end of it, sign the contract, and they go, oh, I thought that was in. I'm like, no, it was out. And you can take all the emotion out of it, because we can just pull up co-constructs and go through the comments and work out who's made the blunder. And and it's because one of my biggest things is fixed price. So if I sign a contract with someone and the price that's on the contract is the price that's going to cost them to build the job, unless they change something. So if I miss something, that's my problem, not theirs. And that's part of me trying to make sure that people come away from building with me feeling really good about the industry, because we do all make mistakes, but I believe that there's a lot of mistakes that get made and the clients end up paying for them when it's not really their responsibility in a lot of cases. It's that they're paying for a professional service, and I think sometimes they don't get that and get charged for not getting it, which I think that's part of it, not helping our reputation. So using the system that we use, they're able to have a lot of clarity around exactly what they're getting. So it helps me as much as it helps them. And then that system carries on through the whole job. So we have our the project schedule is in that job in that system, and that's visible to the client, so they can see when the framing's starting, how long the guys will be on site, when the plumbers are coming to first fix, when the electrician's coming to first fix, and when we're doing the walk around, and all of those things are in the schedule, and it's all visible. And we also keep the photos. We keep like a photo journal, I suppose, of the job. So every time we go to site, we take a bunch of photos. Sometimes they're just general photos of how the job's going, as well as detail shots. So just yesterday we finished first fixing plumbing and electrical on a project, and I went around and did a photo of every single wall, every plumbing connection, the whole entire house. Was about 130 photos. And they all went up onto Co-Constructs, which is the name of the system we use, and everyone can see all that information. And it helps at the end of the job when we're fixing things to walls to double check that we're not going to screw through into something we don't want to. And the system also has a job log and a whole bunch of other things that just mean that communication with the client and the sub, all of my subbies are also on that system. So with the schedule, that they're attached to a schedule task, which means they get email reminders from 30 days out of when they need to be on site, which means that all of that results in my projects always run really smoothly, because everything is organized and everyone knows where they're meant to be and when, and if there's changes made, that information is all shared from one central source. And it just, it plays a major part in reducing communication errors, but also in having everyone, I think for the homeowners, it gives them a lot of peace of mind, because they know just about everything I do about what's going on with their home. So it's really cool. People ask me about that software, and I say, look, it's one of the mainstays of my business. Without that, I just don't know how I'd be able to give the experience to clients that I do.
Yeah, I think that it's all about giving people competence, particularly your customers, but also your tradespeople and everyone that's working with you. So that system sounds really beneficial. But there is a question that I have regarding fixed price, because I think for me, this is all coming back to the word confidence, because to do the fixed price, you obviously need a lot of confidence that you understand the design and the plans and that you've allowed for everything. What are you using? Is that why you use PlusSpec, for example?
Yeah, so PlusSpec, I signed up and got PlusSpec really early in the history of Plusbet, and I nowadays am quite insistent with all the designers and architects that I work with that if particularly if they're using Revit, I ask for the 3D model, which speeds up my time in rebuilding it in Plusbet so that I can virtually construct the house. And what it does is it allows me to not only quantify everything, which is, it's always a, I was using another type of estimating software which works all in 2D, and that's handy for some things, but I'm finding more and more, particularly with the fact that, you know, you guys are every other month and sometimes two or three times in a month, there's an update to Plusbet, and I'm finding that more and more I'm able to use Plusbet to get all of the data that I need for costing the job. And it also helps me pick up on all the little knickknacks, which are the things that crop up later on in the job. And it's little things like where the water, I do a lot of work in rural areas. So, you know, where's the water pump going to go and where are we going to bring the water feeds in, and how's that going to interact with where the hot water service is, or where we're putting the electrical box, and how's that going to work with one of the things that I consider a lot is where you don't want to have a power box right next to someone's head in a bedroom because of the electromagnetic field. And there's, you know, a growing body of research about how that can affect your sleep and your health generally. So all of those little things I often find aren't marked on a lot of the plans that I get. So using Plusbet, I'm able to, I'm forced to think about those things and actually really consider, well, where's that going to go and what does that affect and how are we going to run everything? And because you're getting that, because you're looking at essentially at the built house in 3D, it's much easier, especially for me. So I'm in my mid 30s. I'm a bit of a Gen Y millennial type, so I really benefit from being able to see things in their full form rather than the just working off 2D plans. And I've had it plenty of times before where I've been sent a set of 2D plans and there's a bunch of things on the 2D plans that are kind of grey areas in the 3D model that you build in your own head as you're looking at 2D plans. And they've really only been resolved by building it in Plusbet. And as you're building it from the plans in Plusbet, you start to work out how all these different lines on a 2D plan actually are going to look at the end. And on top of that, I find that particularly with my carpenters, where we get like all of the work that I do is very bespoke, which means that there's always some, all the jobs are very detail driven, but there's always some stuff in the plans that's not fully resolved, but in order for us to cost it and actually build it, we need to resolve them. And I, because of the fact that I do genuinely give a fixed price, if I don't resolve them before I start building, then they're coming out of my pocket on site. Yeah. So, and even a couple of my carpentry gangs that run by guys that are a bit older, that they're really experienced, but when it comes to technology, they're not that hot. And I get them in the office standing next to me at my desk. I've got, just as an example, I've got three screens, probably the only builder with three screens in South Australia, probably in the country. But I get them in here and we have the Plusbet model up, and we can actually, you know, strip everything away so that we're just looking at the structure and work out how things are going to go together. And then, of course, working with the mechanical, electrical and plumbing, and going, okay, well, now where, you know, where's the ducting going to run for the air conditioning? And, you know, you do a few jobs where you use it, and then you go, that was too much. There's so much time involved in that. And, oh, no, I won't do it with this job. We won't, you know, I won't bother. And then I had a job where it was exactly like that. I thought, oh, no, I don't have enough time to use Prospect to build the model. And I, and in that case, the architect was actually using SketchUp, so, and was happy to share a SketchUp model with me. And so it meant that I didn't do my normal due diligence of where's the plumbing going to go, where's the, you know, where's the air conditioning ducts going to go. And of course, on site, we got partway through it, and we were like, okay, well, where is it going to go? Where, you know, where's the
plumbing
going to go out of this bathroom? And of course, you go back to the architect and say, where are you planning for it to go? And unfortunately, a lot of architects, not all of them, because I know a few really good ones who I do work with who actually think about this stuff. But in the case of that particular job, they hadn't, and they said, oh, we'll just work it out. And with that one, it was fine. It wasn't. Working out where it had to go wasn't a big job, and it wasn't difficult, but it could have been a massive disaster. And yeah. For me, that was a big wake-up call. I just went, you know what? I just have to, regardless of if it's a project where I'm charging for my time to consult on the design and the costing, or whether it's one that I tendered, which was the case of that one, I need to bite the bullet and spend the time doing the 3D model, because I know that if I've done that model, I'm supremely confident that I've nutted out before we've even scratched the ground. I've nutted out most of the potential clashes of structure and equipment that are going to occur. And on top of that,
yeah,
I'm able to sit down with homeowners and show them the model. And particularly with one of the architects that I work with quite a bit, they're heavy Revit users, and the Revit models are not quite as realistic, and I find, because they're just the walls and the doors and things like that, they're just sort of a solid color. Whereas when you're playing around in SketchUp, it's a 2-second job to put some textures onto things that are actually close to the actual real deal of what their house is going to look like. And the number of times that's avoided, that situation where you're on site, you've built something exactly to the plans, and the owners rock up for their weekly site meeting with you, and they're like, oh, is that what that looks like? You're like, yep, that's what it is in the plans. And you can, and I feel bad, because I feel that I don't know if it's empathy or sympathy for the client, because I don't want them to feel like they're getting something that they didn't fully understand or didn't want. And being able to show them. And even though I also know that, you know, I've built it exactly to the plans, it's exactly what's been drawn and specified, but they just hadn't, they hadn't fully understood what it was that they were getting. And so, I've been showing them the model prior to starting, they're able to see that. And just recently, I've probably really gone into overdrive with using Plusspec and showing clients the model, and I've even sprung for the SketchUp viewer app that I put on my tablet. I think it's a grand total of about $13, but for some reason I didn't want to spend $13 on an app, but I did. And you know, I had a meeting earlier this week with a homeowner, and you know, that we're talking about the most innocuous of details, which is a planter box that they wanted me to build and install as part of the contract. And we were able to sort of at least with that viewer app, I was able to show them what the one that I'd picked out for them would look like against their house with all of that's the awesome. Correct, you know, color paint finishes. And we had a photo, I put a photo texture of what their exposed aggregate driveway would look so they could see all the colors against each other. And yeah, it sealed the deal that they didn't like the one that I'd picked. So we found a different one. But, you know, for me, that's way better because that it cost me nothing, cost them nothing. And we resolved a potential problem long before it became a problem. So yeah, it's brilliant. And look, you know, I just remembered that there was a recent project where I did break my own rule again about not doing a plus spec model in the tender process, and it was because it was a tender. And nowadays, I tend not to do tenders. The only reason I did that one was I was the homeowner had looked me up and specifically requested that the architect get me to tender. And it's a good example of why plus spec's so good in that. Because we tended, I said, I won't do a model, which makes you think that, you know, I'm a bit of a glutton for punishment. But what happened is that architect had designed, and it's funny, they did all of their preliminary stuff in SketchUp. Everything, all the preliminary, got planning approval in SketchUp and using a SketchUp model and layout. And then for the working drawings and the construction drawings, it was all done using AutoCAD. And what had happened along the way was that a couple of walls had been shifted around and the engineer had done his structural steel, and the north-facing wall of his house is 4.5 meters tall with highlight windows. And the engineer designed a column that went up straight through one of these highlight windows. And when I discovered that, unfortunately, we started, it didn't cost much to cut column down. But when we discovered that problem, I was like, that's it. I'm going to have to build this whole house virtually right now before we go any further. And what that uncovered was a whole bunch of other little discrepancies between the plans and the engineering that luckily we were able to resolve most of them before we went any further. So yeah, I mean, and that's embarrassingly, that's quite recent where I kind of broke my own cardinal rule again. But it's one of those reminders, I suppose, for me that it is definitely worth the time because, you know, it's one of those things you go back to the architect and the engineer and they're like, oh, well, you know, that's just something you'll have to sort out, which that attitude sometimes irks me a bit that that there are guys out there that perhaps are not quite so willing to sort of put their hand up and say, oh, maybe I made a mistake. And it's another reason why I'm such a big fan of PlusSpec, because if those guys had been working in PlusSpec or at least doing some sort of virtual design and construct, they would have noticed that as soon as they got the engineering back. So it's and again, it's that's an example of where I've done things outside of my normal process. But my normal process is that I take the clients right from the idea that they want to build through to handing the keys over at the end. And it's and using PlusSpec just ensures that it would help, you know, it ensures that the whole process is smooth, and doing that in conjunction with the online system that I use sharing all of the nitty-gritty information, it just makes the whole process smooth. And for me, PlusSpec, you know, between PlusSpec and CoConstruct, they're kind of the two mainstays of the business.
That's awesome to hear. I think that I think a lot of people need to actually keep that in mind, because unfortunately it does plague our industry, right? So we even recently just did a blog post that went up about MEP for residential construction, and why it's one of the main causes for structural butchering.
Yeah, I did. I'll admit that I skim read it, but it's one of those. It's a lesson that I keep learning all the time, because we're all busy. We're all trying to do more in a day than we should, and I think what I've learned is that the upfront time that I spend on Prospect working out these things often saves me hours and hours of chatting and deciphering on site things that could have been worked out easily beforehand sitting at your desk, which means that the site time, instead of my attention being on the really important aspects of making sure that all the little tiny details that you don't model are being done correctly, I'm spending time on things that could have been modeled. And so it's a constant, I'm constantly being reminded and reminding myself that it's worth the time that I spend up front on the Prospect model. I've had stories from a lot of my subbies on when, particularly around the time that we're standing there with my laptop on site looking at a Prospect model, about, I was at some other job where they just hadn't even thought of this, and we had to build all these bulkheads to run air conditioning. And it just completely changed the homeowner's house from what they were expecting. And for me, that's, to have that happen on one of my jobs would just be, it would just kill me. That's just the complete opposite of what I want to achieve with the way that I build and the way that I deliver projects. I suppose it's one of those things that, being a bit of a younger builder too, when I speak with older builders about maybe not so much the Prospect aspect, but the communication software that I use, a lot of them, their eyes glaze over and they sort of talk about, it's too hard to set up, or it's too hard to, too much time involved in doing all of that and making it all work. And I turn around and I go, there was a bit of time spent in setting that up, in setting up the online software with templates and all the stuff that you need in the back end. But it saves me time during my day, and as well as making sure that there's a lot of aspects of that software that allow clients to be informed with a lot of information that's kind of generated. It's information about the project that's happening anyway, like schedule updates, for instance. They happen automatically. The clients get an email saying, we're at this stage with this and we're at this stage with that. And that's happening. It's pertinent information to the client that if you didn't have that system, you may or may not remember to mention it to them. But because the software just picks up, that's where we're at, we'll let the client know. It's the same with using Prospect for my estimating. It's, it's an ongoing improvement that I'm making to the way I use Prospect and the information that I put in. And I've, I watch all of the videos that you guys put up, the tutorial videos, because I always pick up something that I could do to improve the speed at which I am able to pull the info that I need out of a model.
I know that we've spoken a few times in the past, and you've mentioned how beneficial it is for your architects and designers to be using Prospect, and how for you that's like amazing when and if you can deal with an architect or designer that gives you the Prospect model. Why is Prospect beneficial to you as a builder or contractor?
Yeah, so that question brought on a flood of different answers for me. But there's the first one that I'll start off with before I forget it is cost. So there's an architect that I'm working on pretty hard and have been for a while to get him to move from Revit over to Prospect. And he's also met with someone from yet another architectural software supplier. And so it meant that because he's got that the costing of all of that recent in his head, when I last met with him to talk to him about it, we just put the dollars and cents down on a bit of paper. And with paying your Pluspec and SketchUp fees to buy the software and then ongoing, is it's I think it was like less than 1% of the cost of some of these alternatives. And so from that point alone, I go, well, it makes sense. And then in terms of sharing information with builders, from my point of view, being able to receive that from an architect or designer, it saves me a ton of time redoing that work, as in, you know, building the model just from their 2D plans. But it also means that it's easier for the information to get shared with the people that are affected by not knowing the information, like subbies, like plumbers and electricians in particular, and carpenters. I always felt as a carpenter, and I know that my carpenters often complain that they feel a bit forgotten in the design process, because there's often a lot of details missing about how things are going to go together. And I find that you can, I think I'm probably border on having a few too many years off the tools, to every so often you'll look at a plan and go, oh, that'll be able to go together. But until you build it virtually, you're not actually really answering the question. And it's one of those things. Sometimes I feel a little out of touch, which is why I get my carpenters in to see the model. And it's the other reason why I'm so much of an advocate for the architects to be using Pluspec. It's because they can put in the timber framing and actually see, well, I've just drawn this beautiful overhead bulkhead, but how's it going to be supported? What's going to hold it up? What can fit through it in terms of services? And how are you going to get access there? I've done a few houses with butterfly roofs, so they're sloping down to the middle in a box gutter, and they look great. They're beautiful houses, but getting services from one side of the box gutter to the other is often really difficult. Anyway, in the designs that I've done, those box gutters have sat over open spaces. So there's a lot of those sorts of questions get answered if you're using the model, and being able to share from an architect's point of view, being able to share that with a builder and say, look, here's the model with all of the framing, it's all done, have a look. There should be less problems with costing blowouts on site, because the architect can say to the builder, look, I've given you the full 3D model with all the framing. If there was an issue to be uncovered, that was the time to uncover it, not come back to me once we've started and say, oh, you know, there's some problem here that's not really detailed on the plans. Does that make sense?
For me, God or the devil is in the details. So when you're able to call out that structure and you're able to pull all those details into it from the early stages, it means that your design is going to be better. But more importantly for me, from the architectural background, if I was to share that with the builder, I'm getting confidence knowing that the builder knows what I'm trying to do. They know my intent. They can get inside my head. And that's worth a lot of money because there's no disconnect.
Yeah, and that's something that I've probably been a bit lax to talk about, which is the design intent. Because I do architecturally designed homes, it's just as important to me as it is to the architect and the client to make sure that I deliver the design intent that the architect wants. And like you say, being able to share the Pluspec model as an architect with the builder, that again, it reduces and eliminates, in the most part, any misunderstanding about design intent. And I think that like you're saying, it is a team effort to get the job built. And as I say to a lot of architects that perhaps come to me because they've been referred, they hear about the fact that, you know, I do charge for my time during the costing and design process, because I know that the input that I give is really valuable to coming out the other end with a design that actually hits the client's budget. And I'm sure you would know that a lot of architects get a pretty rough run when it comes to blowing budgets. And I actually don't really blame the architect for that, because the issue is that architects are brilliant at design. Like, asking me, I've done my head in trying, when I had a tilt at being a designer, I just did my head in working out where rooms would go and how they'd all flow together, and it just blew my mind and gave me a huge respect for how architects can manage to put all that together and make it work. And so that's their skill. That's the artistry of architecture, I suppose, is that they've got that ability to look at a blank screen and work out where the rooms are going to go and how to orientate them correctly in the house and on the block, and pick materials and things that will work together and look good. But then my skill set is in knowing that if you do the windows in a certain way, it's going to cost you a fortune. But if you just reduce everything down by 100 mil to a standard size, for instance, you could save $4,000 or $5,000. And that's my skill. And I firmly believe that you need both skills together to actually be able to deliver for the homeowner a design that suits their budget. Or if you want to make a design change that's going to go over that budget, you're able to say almost straight away, look, that design change, that's we can do it, it's no problem, but it's going to cost you about $20,000 more. And then you can, that then opens the discussion to, well, why is it going to cost $20,000 more? And then it gives me the opportunity to explain that making a certain change is going to cost this much more because, and go through the details. And the thing that I like is that, as I say to everyone, I say, look, you know, I occasionally get a head of steam up and think I'm a good designer, but at the end of the day, I can tell you about the costs of a design idea. But because I'm able to sit there and do that with the architect, he or she can say, well, that idea won't look very good. I'm like, okay, well, what if we could do it like this, which won't blow the budget. It'll only blow the budget by $5,000 instead. And we can work out a compromise, but all of that is happening in front of the client, so that there's none of this, like, you know, put the client in the corner and get to the end of the design process and say, well, your home's going to cost this much, and so you'll need to write a check to the builder for that. Which, you know, and I had a job that it was another one that I got invited to tender on, and I insisted on meeting the client before I agreed to tender. And in that first meeting, I asked one of the basic questions, which is, you know, what's your budget for this? And they told me that their budget was $550,000. And I said, look, looking at these plans, this is going to be close to $1 million to build. And it went to, so I am building this house. I did win the job, and I tendered, and it was a competitive tender. I think there were five builders, and all the tenders ranged between $970,000 and $1,050,000. And I put in a tender that included a bunch of suggestions for getting it close to their budget, and we ended up going ahead at $750,000, so it's $200,000 over their budget. And the issue was that they'd become really wedded to some of the stuff that had been designed in the house, and the architect was also wedded to his own design and wasn't willing to make too many changes to that would get it to their budget, because I actually had enough changes to get it down to their budget. And there was probably only about 20% of the changes were ones that would really adversely affect the design intent. Most of them were quite minor things. So as you can imagine, it was a pretty high spec house. But that type of the attitude of the architect is the thing that, you know, you want to try to kind of not see that occur too much more in the building industry. and I think that, you know, by getting people into software like PlusSpec, it means that, you know, architects, even if they're putting basic costing information against things like, you know, the plasterboard square meterage and putting in a dollar value against the lineal meterage of walls and cladding and things like that, that it at least means that while it might not be super accurate, the price they get out, it's at least going to start being in the ballpark, so that they can see early on where, you know, where their costs are going. If they're an architect that would prefer not to work with a builder, that's the point I'm getting to in a roundabout way.
Yeah, I love that you said that. I love you said that, because that's why so many architects and designers are making the leap to PlusSpec, because it does give them way more control around budget. And again, exactly like you said, the architect or designer, it's not their they're never going to try and give an estimate and actually give the assurance to their customer that they're going to be on the dollar. That's why you have your QF and other people. By being able to design with pricing and pretty damn accurate pricing from the start, it does mean that by the time you start speaking with the builder or contractor or whatever, you should have a very good understanding of where you're sitting with the budget. And then there's obviously some labor costs and a few other things that might throw that, and spans of materials. But that's what goes into what we call IPD, which is integrated project delivery. And we are massive proponents of IPD at PlusSpec, because again, going back to if you're an architect or a designer and you've got this amazing design intent and you want to get it through, the best way is to get the structural engineer involved, to get the contractor involved early on so that you can actually achieve it. So I 100% agree with what you said there.
Yeah, I work really hard not to step on the toes of the architect's design, but just to be transparent about what that design is costing. And, you know, I suppose that I think the old school way of designing a building and then sending it out for tender really just does two things. And this is a little tiny bit of architect bashing, but it justifies that that design is over budget, but it's being competitively priced, and it usually results in more variations on site for the clients. Whereas when you have the builder work in from the beginning, you should eliminate all of those problems, which is why I do fixed price. And what I always encourage, and it's with a couple of architects that I've just started working with, is I've said to them, look, rather than doing a tender process, why don't you get the homeowner to, I said, if you're a bit worried about doing it my way, which is where you just work with one builder and one architect the whole way through, I said, why don't you have your homeowner meet with a panel of builders over the course of a month or so, go and meet them on site and go to their office and chat with them and let them decide who they like working with. Because I think that's another, it's another big thing, is that when you're building a home, you have to work with your builder for upwards of 9 months, from, you know, pre-contract to post handover and beyond. And so it's not something that you kind of just want to go for the cheapest or the median price in a tender process and hope that the builder's a nice guy that you get along with. And I've met with people before. I've just gone, look, you know, you're a lovely couple, but I actually don't think that we can work together that well. And that's why. And the other thing is that, you know, I know that on the occasions where I do a tender, I'm always a median. I'm always one of the median prices, which means that I know that, like all the other honest builders that are in that tender process, we're all pricing about the same. So for me, it's more about making sure that you're working with a builder and an architect that you get along with. That's why, you know, I feel like the tender process is quite outdated, and that there is a much better way to do it that gives a better outcome for homeowners. You know, I look forward to the day when, as an industry, we sort of go, you know what, different people, you know, you can't please everybody, like different personality types just don't get along. And the tender process opens the door for that happening. And look, I've got homeowners that I've built more than one home for. And so, you know, that means that I've been working with them now for 3 years on and off, because we've done two homes and the design bit in between. That's an indication of a good fit between a builder and a client. But yeah, you're just in the tender process. You might not always get that.
Yeah, I agree with you. This whole thing is about architects are from Mars, builders are from Venus, but hey, we can do amazing things together. And we're not always going to get on, but there are way better ways that we can communicate and get rid of this disconnect. So I don't think there's ever this bashing. I think that if there are things that are frustrating each other, and there's things that frustrate me as a designer and architect, and frustrate you as a builder or a contractor, and frustrate the customer and everything. So if we can identify all those things and work together earlier and better, we can definitely achieve better outcomes. And that's what Prospect's all about. That's what Ruby Sketch is all about. That's our passion. And just to sum up, and we are going to have to call it.
No, sorry. You just put it a lot more eloquently than I did, Drew. You did. Yeah.
But look, it's all about referrals. And what I think that you're doing to great success is that you are building confidence with everyone that you're working with every single project stakeholder, especially your customer. Unfortunately, I think it is time to wrap up. So thanks for coming along and having a chat.
No worries. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, unfortunately, that's the end of another episode of the Architects Are From Mars, Builders Are From Venus podcast. If you would like to take part, don't hesitate to reach out. But before we go, I would also like to thank our gold sponsors. Builders Profits provides coaching and training to the building industry no matter where you live in the world. Dinsel is a lightweight stay-in-place formwork system which, when filled with concrete, produces a load-bearing, fire-resistant structural element. And Stramit is a leading Australian manufacturer of raw-formed steel building products. See you next time.